I tried to determine what to share with you this morning, and I want to preach to all of us, including me, about a simple subject that I think ought to help us all. And if you hadn't listened to anything I've said in the last few years, would you listen for a few moments this morning as we gather here? It is by God's design that we're in this room today. And so I think God wants us to hear something that he has for us. You'll never go wrong when you listen to God.
Amen.
You'll never go wrong when you listen to God.
Amen.
So I pray that you'll listen to him this morning. Let's bow for a moment. Pray, Father, thank you today. We turn our ears on you. We take our eyes off one another. We quit listening to one another. We want to see you. We want to hear from you. Lord, I pray you'll speak to me as I speak to those who surround me today. May it nothing be about me. May it all be about you. For Lord, if we don't talk about you, then we've messed up.
Amen.
So help us today. It is our prayer in Jesus' name. Every day, tens of thousands of people board our planes to travel from one place to another. If you travel with me today to our local airports, it's absolutely packed full of folks who are getting on board big planes, little planes. They're flying to all kinds of destinies all over this world. Now, I want to ask you several questions. How, with so many airplanes in the air, do they maintain such a safety record? How do they fly in the air without hitting one another? I mean, some are here and some are there, and some over here and some over there. How do they do that? Well, it's what is called, known as a radar. Radar first made a huge impact during World War II, and it was used by the nations which were fighting each other. And then by 1960, the radars were used to land planes safely to keep them in the air. Now listen to me, I'm going somewhere. The pilot of the airplane can get in touch with the air controller even if the air controller cannot see him. And the air controller can see the plane on the screen even though they cannot see the plane in the air. It's a radar. And it shows and it tracks where this plane is and the altitude of this plane. And the altitude of this plane. Radars do not imagine things. They bounce off of objects that are not seen and they reveal themselves that they're here. Now you may not know this. I don't think some of us do. But radars are in the Bible. You say, well, I've never seen the word radar in the Bible. Well, you won't find the word radar, but you'll find the radar in the Bible. And here's what it is. It's one simple word, and it's the word faith.
Amen.
How do we know what's out there? I don't, but I know God does.
Amen.
Hey, where do I go from here? I don't know, but I know that God does. It's called faith. It's called faith. We practice faith every single day. You know, everyone in this building you practice. You exercise. You say, not me. Oh yeah, you do. You walk into this building and you pray that this building is built right. You pray that the balcony won't fall to the floor. And you pray that the ceilings won't fall down. And so we're sitting in here in a building saying it's going to stand up. And we're saying that through faith. When you mail a letter, you're saying that you've got faith that that letter is going to get from one place to the other place. Faith. Faith. It's every day. When you go to the bank and you hand them your check, you have faith that in the next few hours, if you want some of your money, you can get some of your money. You have faith.
Yes.
Now, common sense is about that thing. If you don't put money in, you can't get money out.
That's right.
Gotta have faith. You know what else? Listen. We feel sick. We go to the doctor. He gives to us pills. He gives us a prescription. And we exercise faith in what the doctor has told us and in the pill that the druggist gives to us, that if we do what he says and take the way it says to be taken, then we will get better. Listen, many people will leave this world as a church member, but who have never really put their faith where their faith ought to be. You know what? Some of you are banking on getting to heaven because your last name. You won't get into heaven because your last name. You'll get into heaven because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some say, well, I was baptized. Well, it don't matter how many times you were baptized, you won't get into heaven if your faith's not in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care. You won't get faith. You won't get that. And some say, well, grandma and grandpa helped build the church, and so God's going to make an exception for you. No, 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 no. God's not going to make an exception for you. It's all by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Faith. We live every day by faith. And so I want you and I to help examine just the simple word faith this morning. The writer of Hebrews tries to help us with faith. He tries to define it for us, and then he demonstrates it for us. And so turn with me in Hebrews chapter number 11. If you've got your Bible, and I hope you do, our screens are not working, and so you've got to have your Bible. And so open your Bible and look at verse 1, and I'm going to show you some things about faith. Now listen, here's what I'm getting at. Here's what I'm getting at. When all the world is against you, there is a God who still loves you.
Amen.
So I want you to understand something. What I'm trying to tell you is, be very careful what you listen to and where you go to hear your advice. Listen, bottom line. No matter where God takes me, he's going to take care of me. No matter where God takes you, he's going to take care of me. Now what does he say? Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance. Now listen. Is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Here's my radar.
That's
my radar. Now look at verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now listen to verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, here's what that means. Listen. God said, let there be light, and hallelujah, there was light.
Amen.
God said, from the taking the dust of the ground and breathed into that dust, man became a living soul. We didn't just evolve. We didn't just come on the scene. We had a precious God who created every single one of us. God said, or him or himself, he spoke it and it happened. Now listen to this. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do not appear. Now here's what I want us to focus on first of all. What is the definition of faith? We discover here the divine definition of faith. It's the only definition that's found in the Bible. Everybody says, have faith, keep the faith. This is the only definition that we find. What is it? The substance of things hoped for.
Amen.
And you say that's broad. Well, let me break it down for you. You know what the word substance means in the Greek language? It means the title deed. It's almost like you've got property and they hand you, when it's paid for, the title deed to your property. It's the title that you have when you purchase that car and pay that last payment. And even though you may have to push it in the driveway, it's yours.
Amen.
Have you ever noticed if you're going to pay something off, it quits about 2 months before you pay it off? It's a title deed. A title deed. Now here's what faith is. God says, Rob, I'm going to give you a title deed to all my promises.
Hallelujah.
Now you think, listen, when he says, I'm going to give you a title deed that says you can cast could shoot one another, but hallelujah, you'll never take my deed away from me. It's the substance, the title deed. Now listen. The future is bright because of his promise. Listen. For Cedar Grove Baptist Church, the future is bright because of his promise. Now you say, what are you talking about? Let me tell you this. The future is bright because we still got a great big old God in charge of things. But listen. Some just need to let God take care of things and quit trying to mess things up.
Amen.
For I'll tell you, the smartest person in this building is not standing on this platform. The smartest person in this building is the unseen person who is the presence of the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
If you want to know how to get budgets in line, you let God get them in line. If you want to know how to reach people for Christ, let God reach people for Christ. I'll tell you one thing. Every man's opinion is wonderful if it does not deviate from God's word.
Amen.
It's the substance. You got a title deed. You got a title deed. Things that we do not yet possess have been promised to us. What do we hope for? What do we seek at? You know what we hope for? We hope for a time when peace will reign. You know what? I have a title deed to that time. You know what it is? We hope for the day when death will be done away with. I have a title deed that's got written on there. Guess what? There is no death to the child of God.
Amen.
Victory in Jesus belongs to us by faith. Then it says the evidence of things not seen. Now here's what the word evidence means. It means proof. Everybody says, prove this to me. We say to the Lord, prove your love to me. And he said, duh, you bunch of dummies. I've already done that.
Amen.
Hey, man, I've already done that. My son Jesus hanging on the central cross ought to be evidence enough and prove enough. And say, God, you don't love us like you used to love us. And he said, God, you are so dumb. He wants to, don't you think he does? He reveals his love every morning when I'm able to get out of bed. He reveals his love when I can put my clothes on. He reveals his love when I can drive in my vehicle and sit down at a meal. He reveals his love to those who encourage me during the day. Guess what? God has already proved his love.
Amen.
That's faith. People say, does God still love me? Oh, yeah, he loves you. We have proof also that the world was formed. It was not a big boom. Boom! Nope. But it was God. No man with our eyes have seen God. But I invite you to look around. And you can see. A jet thousands of miles in the air. You cannot see it, nor can you hear it. But you look up, and you know what you see?
Uh-huh.
A stream of smoke tells you that it's been there. When the fire gets hot, guess what? You may not see God. You may not even hear God. But look up, and you can see that God has been there.
Yeah.
accept things that are invisible because God has promised them.
Amen.
Listen. Very carefully. Now here's my statement. You hear my statement. Because I want you to hear this. By faith, we are already enjoying the home that's being prepared for us in heaven.
Amen.
That's right.
We are. Faith puts skin on unseen realities. You know what faith causes you to do? Thank God it does. Faith sings in prison, not just when you get out of prison.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah. When we go through hard times and troubles and trials and we finally get on the other side of those things, we sing glory to God in the highest. We say there's victory in Jesus. But can I tell you about a faith that helps you to still sing even though you're still in prison? How do we prove it? Listen. How do I prove that my mother is my mother? She says she is. She's told me what a pain I was inside of her and what a pain I have been since I've come out of inside of her. How do I know that? Because she tells me she is. Papers say that I. How do I know I'm going to heaven? Because God has told me I was. He defines it. There's a second thing, and I want you to look very quickly, is the demonstration of faith. The definition of faith, but there's something here that's good, and I want you to keep your Bible. Most of us just think about saving faith. Here's what happened. If you're saved, let me get away from the flower. If you're saved today, if you're saved today, guess what happened? Somebody somewhere told you that God sent his son down the earth. He was born of a virgin, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Somebody told you that he didn't stay a baby. Aren't you glad he didn't stay a baby?
Amen.
Somebody told you that this man went about touching eyes and eyes could see and touching limbs and people could walk again.
Amen.
Somebody told you this man had the time to sit down with a woman at the well who nobody else wanted to deal with.
Amen.
Church folks need to take a lesson from Jesus like that.
Amen.
And it's just a simple thing. It matters not where a person's been, what they've done. Jesus still cares.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, yeah. I know some things have been said about me so involved in the chaplain program and reaching to the real raft and all this kind of stuff. That is my heart. God's put that in my heart.
Yes.
And guess what? Guess what? I don't know that none of us in this room can escape being the real raft before Jesus came.
Amen.
Jesus loves us all.
Amen.
To the drunk tonight, this morning, who still has a hangover from last night, guess what? If Jesus walked up, Jesus would spend some time talking to him.
Amen.
To the prostitute who sold her body last night because she wanted a fix off of cocaine, guess what? Jesus still loves her.
Amen.
And so somebody told you that this Jesus loved you. And guess what? Then somebody told you how he died on a cross. And then somebody said this dumb word to you. He didn't stay dead. Somebody said that 3 days later, he got up and moved out.
Yeah.
And you know what? There may be a bunch of riffraff in this building. And there may be a lot of dummies in this building who believe that. But bless God, count me among the dummies.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ saved me. That's saving faith. Saving faith. And you can take my name off and off the rolls of the church, and you can take my name off the Sunday school rolls, but I've got news for you. You'll never take me off of the blood roll.
Amen. Amen.
That's what he said. Here's how he demonstrates. Look with me, verse 4. We're going to move very quickly. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Now here's what it is. Listen. It's more than saving faith. There is a worshiping faith.
Amen.
Now, let me give you a little bit of background. Cain was the founder of the world's first false religion. Now, here's what Cain's religion consisted of. Good works. Cain thought the more you work, the better off you were. There's a lot of religions like this. That's why the Mormons put us to shame as Baptist folks. Thank God that I saw the light, because being a bicycle wouldn't make it all those days. But them boys, they were out all over town. Why? They're working toward that place in that celestial tower. Salvation can't be earned, church. It is a free gift of God.
Amen.
People say, well, the harder I work to God, the better I'm going to get. Well, you know, if I teach Sunday school class, sing in the choir, help the children, change those dirty diapers, do all these kind of things, God's going to be proud of me, and he's going to give me a little bit more than somebody else. And I'm going to say, wrong.
Amen.
You've got all Jesus you're going to get that you got saved.
Amen.
Now listen, there's many feelings. If you want to leave out of here depressed, discouraged, half-filled, that's up to you. But I'll tell you one thing. If you'll let him fill you up, he'll fill you up over the brim.
Amen.
And so he pointed. You know. Well, number one, I'm going to tell you this. God will get you for owing your money.
That's right. Amen.
But the second thing is, then we have some folks who give their money and they think they have a title deed to the church because they give their money. You don't own God's church.
Amen.
There's not but one owner and proprietor, and that's God himself. People say, well, quit giving my money. And I'll tell you one thing, I'm stepping out of the way, but I will tell you this. If you say those kind of things, you're not giving it the way God told you to give it anyway. You ought to take your money and do something else with it.
That's right.
Right.
You know, here's what, and Cain's religion ignored the blood. Now here's a simple fact. Cedar Grove, listen. You cannot worship God without the blood of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You can have Sunday school pens that you trip over because you've been so faithful in Sunday school, but I'll tell you one thing. If the blood has never been applied,
amen,
then you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Woo!
Yeah. All right.
There is no blood, no worship. That's where our faith comes in. Abel brought a lamb. He slew the lamb. You remember that? On the altar. Abel approached God in faith by bringing a sacrifice to God. He brought the right kind of offering. Cain brought his first fruits and the best he had and money that he had and gave to God. No. Abel brought a sacrifice and gave it to God. Listen. Abel knew that he needed God. Listen to me very carefully. What do you bring to God when you come to worship? What do you bring to God when you come to worship? Well, he's already provided a sacrifice. Yeah, he has. I'm glad. We don't have to drag an animal down here. The greatest lamb of Calvary has been slain for our sin.
Amen.
What are you bringing? Sometimes we don't worship because we're so filled up with the other garbage that's going on that we never get to where we ought to be. That's the worship of a righteous holy God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ could stand on this platform and share with some of you, and some of you wouldn't hear what Jesus had to say. Because we've got our own attitudes and our own opinions of
God. Right. That's right. Amen.
It's a worship thing. Don't ever replace the blood. Don't ever replace the blood. Don't ever replace it. That's my prayer for Cedar Grove. Don't ever replace the blood. If you ever hear that Ron Coverson has quit preaching about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you help pray that God take me home because there's something bad wrong with me. Because I'm not saved because I'm a Baptist, and I'm not saved because I went to Sunday school. I'm saved because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
Thank you.
Worship is not rituals and regulations. Some would absolutely have a heart attack and go into cardiac arrest if you came into this building and didn't have a bulletin handed to you.
That's right.
Because we're so accustomed that we got to open with a song, open with prayer, and sing a few songs, and have fellowship time, special music, take up the offering. Even God in heaven knows exactly what we're going to do.
That's right.
It's not, should be that way. Listen to me very carefully.
Amen.
If God is really into worship, we may have to change a song or two and change some things around. But I'll tell you what you do. You don't pay attention to a printed program. You just listen to God.
Amen. Amen. Glory. Glory to God.
It's a worshiping faith. Look at verse 5. Here's what he said about somebody. Yeah, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. That was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now listen, here's the key verse. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's worshiping faith. He demonstrates that. There's walking faith. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch began to walk with God. Now, Enoch did not just show up for church on Sunday morning. He just walked with God every day.
Amen.
You will discover something in your spiritual life if you get in tune with God, is that God is just as real on Tuesday morning as he is on Sunday. Some people say, well, I'm going to go to church and meet God. I'm going to go to see what God's about. Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's wonderful to come to church, but you ought to be so walking with God that God just shows up at your dining room table. You ought to be walking with God that when you're driving down the road, all of a sudden God just says, good morning. You ought to be in such tune with God that when everything falls apart at the hospital, God says, listen, don't worry, the great physician has walked into the room. I'll tell you one thing. You are so be in tune with God that when you see your child walk into that elementary school, that middle school, or that high school, that you're praying you're sowing to God, that God's seal of protection is going to be on that child.
Amen.
We walk with God. I mean, it's not just a Sunday morning walk. And then we say, well, we got to dress up to walk with God. No, God doesn't care if you're in your Bermuda shorts or not on a Tuesday morning. He just wants to have fellowship time with you. We're the ones that pick and choose what we want to wear. Not God. What does it mean to walk with God? Well, it means that you are in agreement with Him. You walk with somebody you're in agreement with. If a person comes up to me and says, Rob, you have really lost the way, I won't be in agreement. Walk hand in hand. You're the biggest liar I've ever seen, but we're going to walk hand in hand. You agree. And if you're walking with God, let me give you a little bit of advice. If you're walking with God, you don't run ahead of God and you don't lie behind God. You stay right with God. When everybody turns against you, just keep walking with God. And just lean over every once in a while and say, God, did you see them? They're coming up behind us.
Amen.
For if they get any more closer than they are, we'll get a bear to come out of the woods and just eat them up. Just walk with God. He didn't just walk with God, did he not? He just walked with God. He walked with God. And you know what happened was? God ate it right on their walk one day. They were having communion with one another. They were just talking to one another. They were walking with each other. And they kept walking and time got away. You know, it got away. And finally, God looked over at Enoch. What he said. Brother Enoch, you're closer to my house than your house. Why don't you just come on home?